Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, August 20th of 2026. We'll start with a story titled, Outside Counsel Weighs In on Treasure Spot. This is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. Danville City Council once again debated changing the treasurer position to an appointed position. However, this time there was a consensus to seek outside legal counsel on the matter. Alderman Doug Ahrens is for the possible change. And so I feel that's consistent with what we've been told to this point by our current corporation counsel, Ahrens said. My position has not changed. I think this backs up the information we've provided. Alderman Tricia Teague is staunchly against change without consulting voters first. She has argued since the position was changed to an elected position, to a elected one decades ago by the courts. If the council wishes to change the position, they should consult the voters or the courts. When it comes to that, one of the things that I asked myself was, well, who can change the consent decree? And when I think about the law and what comes out of the court, it is the court that gets to decide, Teague said. If this is going to change, it should be back to the court that presided over it in the first place, because that is where the decision came down from. If we do decide to go ahead and make this change on our own, I imagine that someone will come back and say, well, you know what? This is illegal, and I'm going to sue you. And then we end up in court in the first place, so we might as well just go ahead and either petition the court or ask the people. Teague was not the only one speaking out about the position remaining an elected position. Both former Alderman Brenda Brown and a few others expressed their concerns once again without keeping the position the same. I was at the very first meeting when they started this, Brown recalled during the public comment section of the meeting. It was not just the plaintiffs, it was the people, the community of Danville. That's why I know it's very important that we leave this position as an elected position. Alderman Eve Ludwig expressed they should exercise caution. I just think whatever we do, no matter where we go, appoint a treasurer, elect a treasurer, we decide if the people decide whether or not we're going to appoint or elect a treasurer. We have to make sure that we're careful with our logic and make sure that we're good with it, Ludwig said. But I just want to be clear that I do not support changing the number of wards or aldermen, and I don't think that most of you all do as well. And I want to make sure that we don't muddy the water. We're talking about two completely different things here, so let's not conflate. Leon Parker, Corporation Counsel for the City, talked about his findings and the moves going forward. I'm reading through the original document filed February 25th in 1987. Number 9 on page 5 says the court shall retain jurisdiction of this case for the purposes of awarding attorney fees and costs, approving the redistricting plan, and supervising the implementation of this consent decree, Parker said about the decision of this federal decree in regards to voting. So that was their jurisdiction in the federal case up till the time it was implemented. The attorney fees have been resolved. The districting plan has been approved, and supervising the implementation of the consent decree has been done long ago. I don't believe the court retains jurisdiction now, but being a home rule municipality, these matters are dealt with, and I think would be up to the council to decide if you want to make a change and how you want to make that change. Parker said the city has hired counsel from Chicago who specializes in municipality law to help the council move forward with the decision. Next story is titled Anti-Violence Summit Set for Palmer Arena, again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. This weekend, the youth of the community in the community and other leaders are coming together for an anti-violence summit. Project Success of Vermilion County is hosting a back-to-school summit, United for Peace, powered by Youth Driven for Change, from 2 to 7 p.m. on Saturday at the David S. Palmer Civic Center. Jamie Nightlinger, Violence Prevention and Family Outreach Coordinator, says the free event will feature local voices, youth, and community talent. Plus, there will be a keynote speaker like Iron Nazario there, a nationally recognized peace advocate, motivational speaker, and community leader with more than 30 years of experience in youth outreach, violence intervention, gang prevention, mediation, and community engagement, Nightlinger said. His personal journey and work helping young people make positive choices and build safer communities make him a powerful voice for the summit. There will also be school supplies, hygiene products, art kits, food, raffles, and family-friendly activities at no cost to families. While the event is free, Nightlinger says guests must reserve a ticket through Eventbrite to attend. And if you have considered joining Project Success, Nightlinger says there will be a sign-up table at the event. Youth and families can register for available programs and activities, Nightlinger said. They can learn more about the programs we offer in District 118 schools, including violence prevention, youth engagement, family support, and other opportunities for students and families. As far as what to bring to the community-wide event, Nightlinger says, just bring yourself. There will be sources available from the following as well: Carl Health, OSF Healthcare, Crosspoint, Vermilion County Health Department, Adjust Your Vision, and CCBYS Assistant Director, and Aunt Martha's. Next story is titled Environmental Concerns: Middle Fork is in Danger from Coal Ash. And this again is written by Christy Jankowski in Oakwood. And there's a couple pictures. First one says, kayaker on the Middle Fork River a few years ago, according to Lan Richter, the co-director of the Echo Justice Collaborative. And then there's Lan Richter says, the discoloration in the banks of the Middle Fork River in Vermilion County is proof of contaminants leaching into the river. And then another view of the site in the Middle Fork River, where environmental advocates are concerned about the potential coal ash toxic dust contaminating the water source. The site of former coal-fired power plant on the banks of the Middle Fork River in Vermilion County is facing river erosion, a concern for more environmental advocates. Environmental advocates like Lan Rickard said the delay in removing 3.3 million cubic yards of coal ash from unlined pits along the Middle Fork Vermilion River is dangerous. We've been pushing for coal ash cleanup for more than a decade, and we're still looking at years before this is resolved, said Reichert, co-director of Echo Justice Collaborative in Champaign. 4 years is far too long to be reviewing a permit when you have a potential emergency situation on your hands. Reichert said 4 years ago in 2023, Dynegy Midwest Generation, which is now owned by Vistra, agreed in a lawsuit settlement that they would remove the toxic coal ash to a modern landfill outside of the floodplain zones. However, the company is still awaiting Illinois EPA approval. The settlement required the mandatory removal of all of the 3.3 million cubic yards of coal ash. This settlement also forced Dynegy to submit monthly erosion reports. The company is required to fund any river restoration, address any groundwater violation concerns, and control the toxic dust during demolitions. And recently, their reports indicate trouble on the horizon, according to Reichert. Every day that the river continues to eat into that bank, we're one step closer to a major problem, Reichert said. If that bank fails, you're talking about 3.3 million cubic yards of coal ash and a potential disaster for the Middle Fork. Reichert added he is concerned about the recent flood warnings and that the river erosion may escalate, especially with more rain coming. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency stated that the recent responses from Dynegy for the removal are under review. Illinois EPA's review of Vermilion's coal ash closure permit applications remains ongoing. Kim Briggs, the public information officer for the IEPA, said the applications were supplemented with additional groundwater monitoring, corrective action, and a modeling information in 2025, and Illinois EPA issued notices of deficiency on February 26th of 2026. Dynegy's responses were received by Illinois EPA and are currently under technical review. The ash removal plan has not yet been approved because the identified technical deficiencies must be adequately addressed before the Illinois EPA can make a tentative permit determination. In 2018, Vista Energy acquired Dynegy. A spokesperson from the company reached out regarding the concerns about the toxic dust. Riverbanks Erode, Jenny Lyon, senior manager of the communications and public relations for Vista Energy, said, "On a free-flowing river like the Middle Fork, the channel naturally shifts and the bank moves back over time. It happens on both sides of the river, and it has been happening there for decades." Lyon said there has been no release, no breach, no change in the condition of the ash ponds. The embankments continue to perform as designed, with strength and capacity to spare. This is a preventative, not emergency response. However, environmental advocates like Rickert are concerned. Since acquiring the retired Vermilion plant property in 2018, the company has prioritized responsible closure of the impoundments to protect the environment, groundwater, the public, and Middle Fork of the Vermilion County, said the owner of Dynegy Midwest Generation, LLC. While awaiting approval to implement the permanent closure plan under the 2023 consent order, our team has taken further steps to secure the site and stabilize the existing ash impoundments before the material can be relocated to a new landfill. But Reichert is not convinced. We're already seeing evidence of contaminants leaching into our river, Reichert said. It may be diluted, but it is continuous, and it works its way into the ecosystems over time. The owner also added, "Our rigorous monitoring, inspections, and proactive embankment measures reflect our commitment to safety and responsible stewardship, ensuring long-term protection of the river and wildlife areas for generations to come. We are pleased when Dynegy agreed to clean up the coal ash," Reichert said. "We just didn't realize it would take so many years to even get to the starting line. Right now, we're not saying a breach is imminent," Reichert said, "but the trigger line has been crossed. The river has been at historic levels, and the cleanup is projected to take more than a decade. That's why we're sounding the alarm." Okay, there's just one obituary today. Scott A. Reed, 55, of Danville, formerly of Sullivan, passed away at 8:03 p.m. Sunday, August 10th in OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. A visitation will be held from 1:30 p.m. Sunday, August 23rd at 1 to 3 p.m., Sunday, August 23rd at Crossroads Christian Church in Danville, with funeral services to follow at 3 p.m. with Pastor Miles Clark officiating. A visitation will be held from 5 to 7 on Monday, August 24th, 2026 at the Reed Funeral Home in Sullivan. Funeral services will be at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, August 25th at the Reed Funeral Homes in Sullivan, with Pastor Miles Clark and Pastor Bill Wiggs officiating. Burial will be in Green Hill Cemetery in Sullivan, with military rites conducted by Sullivan American Legion Post 68. In lieu of flowers, memorials are requested for Jarrett's College Education Fund. Next story is titled "Decatur Woman Was Found Dead," and again written by Christy Jankowski in Fithian. A woman was found deceased several miles from her crashed car in rural Vermilion County early Wednesday morning. Jaquincha Comage 20 of Decatur was identified on Wednesday morning by the Jane McFadden, the Vermilion County coroner, as the person found in a riverbank several miles away from where the crash happened. On Tuesday morning, the Illinois State Police say that they found a vehicle belonging to a missing person in a ditch with water damage near Illinois Route 49 and 2100 North Roads in Fithian around 10 a.m. An autopsy has been scheduled for Wednesday afternoon, according to McFadden. The ISP Troop 7 and ISP Division of Criminal Investigation, known as DCI Zone 5, are in the Vermilion County's coroner office are investigating Camage's death. No other information can be released at this time. Next story, Danville drug dealer sentenced to prison, written by a staff reporter in Danville. Carlos Thomas Jr., 30, of Danville, was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison on August 12th after pleading guilty to drug dealing. According to a release from State's Attorney Office, Thomas pleaded guilty to possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance, a Class 1 felony. Thomas was sentenced to 5.5 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections, followed by 12 months of mandatory supervised release. The people presented evidence that on August 30th of 2025, agents with the Vermilion Metropolitan Enforcement Group and Illinois State Police conducted a search warrant on an apartment on Robeson Street in Danville. Law enforcement spoke to an occupant at the residence who stated the defendant had sporadically lived in the apartment for a year. The occupant reported that they had seen Thomas sell cocaine out of the apartment. During execution of the search warrant, law enforcement recovered 27 baggies of suspected cocaine packaged for individual sale with a total weight of 14 grams, 5 cell phones, a digital scale, and $647. The suspected cocaine was sent to the Illinois State Police Crime Lab for analysis and results returned positive for cocaine. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey thanked the Vermilion Metropolitan Enforcement Group and the Illinois State Police for being there through investigation, which helped remove illegal drugs from our community and hold his defendant accountable. The plea and sentencing were presided over by Judge Mark Goodwin. Next story, Pritzker signs disaster proclamation to aid in storm cleanup efforts. And this is written by Maggie Daugherty at Capital News, Illinois, in Chicago. And there's a picture of water floods Kim Spangler's garage near Meadowlawn and Robinson Streets on Friday. Governor J.B. Pritzker issued a proclamation Tuesday to bring financial help to 15 Illinois counties pounded by severe and record-breaking storms over recent weeks. The proclamation, which took immediate effect, is intended to mobilize resources for debris removal and repairs to public infrastructure and will give small rural communities the opportunity to apply for disaster relief funding of up to $250,000. I know these storms have impacted countless Illinois families and requires we band together to help them recover, Pritzker said in a statement announcing the proclamation. As this relentless and unprecedented weather continues to wreak havoc across our region, I remain committed to ensuring those impacted get the resources and help that they need. This money is not available to individuals seeking storm damage relief, who instead must apply for assistance through the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The move comes after Pritzker toured storm damage in Lansing last week and signed a new law intended to help homeowners in Chicago access financial relief to repair damage after flooding, legislation that was passed in response to significant flooding on the southwest side of Chicago last summer. Pritzker's tours storm damage signs flood relief bill expanding local Chicago programs. Illinois residents have endured a pattern of severe weather events this year, from heavy rainfall and flash flooding to a record-breaking number of tornadoes, over 200 as of mid-August. According to reporting reporting by NBC5, the state with the highest count this year is Indiana, which had fewer than 100 confirmed tornadoes as of Monday. The 15 counties eligible for relief under the governor's proclamation are Alexander, Champaign, Cook, DuPage, Ford, Fulton, Kane, Lake, LaSalle, Marshall, McLean, Pulaski, Tazewell, Vermilion, and Will counties. Communities in those areas are eligible to apply for disaster response funding through the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunities Community Development Block Grant. The program, funded by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, will provide reimbursement for storm cleanup, debris removal, and public infrastructure repairs. Funding applications must be submitted within 6 months of the August 18th proclamation. The proclamation also facilitates the deployment of state personnel and equipment to assist in storm cleanup if requested by local authorities, and relieves traditional procurement constraints to help communities more quickly make emergency purchases of specialized equipment needed for storm cleanup. Next story is titled City of Danville Schedules Storm Water Improvements, written by a staff reporter in Danville. The City of Danville announced on Wednesday the complete closure of the intersection of Fairlawn Avenue and Harmon Street on Friday, August 21st for storm water improvements. According to a release from the city, the intersection will be closed from 7 a.m. and is anticipated to be closed for approximately 3 weeks. The city suggests using an alternate route to avoid delays, while motorists and pedestrians are urged to use caution while traveling near the roadway closure corridors. For more information, contact Michael Chaffin, Engineer 3 at 217-431-2385. And next, by a staff reporter, Vermilion County petitions packets available for April 6, 2027 election in Danville. The Vermilion County Clerk's Office announced on Tuesday that petition packets for candidates seeking election in the April 6, 2027 consolidation election will be available beginning Tuesday, August 25th. Also, according to the release, this is the first day petitions may be circulated. Petition packets for school board and regional board of school trustees will be available through the Vermilion County Clerk's Election Department Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30 p.m. Candidates may also request a packet electronically by contacting Carrie Wilson at cclections@vercountyill.gov. Completed petitions must be filed with the Vermilion County Clerk's Office during the statutory filing period starting at 8 a.m. on November 16th and ending at 5 p.m. on November 23rd. Petition packets for other offices like community college trustee, city village mayor or president, city village clerk, city village treasurer, alderman, commissioner, trustee, park district trustee, public library district, township library trustee, and fire protection district trustee up for election on April 6th of 2027 will be distributed and filed through the respective governmental entity or district. Candidates should contact the appropriate entity for information regarding packet availability, filing locations, deadlines, and procedures. All candidates are encouraged to review the Illinois State Board of Elections, candidates' guides, and campaign finance requirements before circulating or filing petitions. Candidates are responsible for complying with all applicable election laws, deadlines, and filing procedures. Next story, staff reporter says detour and route announced for Boiling Springs Road construction in Danville. The City of Danville announced the contractor placed signs for the detour route that will be in effect throughout the reconstruction of Boiling Springs Road. According to the release, this detour will remain in effect throughout all three stages of the roadway construction. During the construction period, motorists are encouraged to use alternate routes and avoid the area whenever possible. Access to the work zone will be restricted to ensure the safety of construction crews. Because of construction activities, the City of Danville would like to request that all garbage toters are at the curb no later than 6:30 a.m. on the day of garbage pickup. Trucks will be unable to return to this location for any late setouts once construction begins for the day. The City of Danville appreciates the public's patience and cooperation as the infrastructure improvements are completed. For more information, please contact Marley Sutton by email at msutton@cityofdanville.org or by phone at 217-431-2318. Sports scores. A few of them. Fountain Central 2, Bethesda Christian 0 in Vetersburg, Indiana. The Mustangs started the season with a 25-9, 25-17, 25-15 win at home. Patience Bexler had 7 kills, while Mallory Massey had 17 digs, and Candace White had 4 aces for Fountain Central, who will travel to Delphi today. And in boys golf, BHRA wins triangular meet in Danville. The Blue Devils had a score of 17, beating out Danville's 194 and Armstrong Potomac's 196 in a meet at Turtle Run Golf Course on Tuesday. Mason Brines had 41 for Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin, while Clark Warren had a 42 and Mason Clapp added 44. And in girls golf, Seeger leads at Bi County in Attica, Indiana. The Patriots are in the driver's seat at the Bi County meet after shooting a team score of 208 in Tuesday's first round. Megan Such had a 45 to lead Seeger, while Callie Anderson had a 52, Emma Nern had a 54, and Olivia Wobbler added 57. Covington is second at 232, with Emily Rice getting the lowest score of the round with a 44, while Ashlyn Elia Dean scored a 49, Rachel Bennett had a 68, and Abby Webster carded at 671. Attica was third at 247, and Fountain Central has no team score. Bella Bacon shot a 50, and Lily Gregory scored a 59 for the Mustangs. And just one more. Crawfordsville, Indiana 5, and Fountain Central 0. The Mustangs could not get a win on the road against Crawfordsville on Tuesday. Fountain Central was coming off a 3-2 win in their season opener on Monday against Tri West. Hendricks, Aiden Batchelor, Hayden Hargrave, and Ellie Souter each won in singles. Just a quick community briefs. St. James UMC hosts blood drive. Impact Life is hosting a blood drive from 3 to 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 20th, in its blood mobile, which will be parked at St. James United Methodist Church at 504 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Appointments which are requested to donate blood can be scheduled by calling Impact Life at 800-747-5401 or on its website at www.bloodcenter.org using the code 70321. The donation process takes 45 minutes to an hour. All donors receive Impact Life rewards, choice of electronic gift cards, points to use in the Impact Life donor reward store, or the option to contribute an equivalent value to a nonprofit through the Blood Center's Good Giving Initiative. Potential donors must be at least 18 years old, 16 with parental permission from form available through www.bloodcenter.org and weigh more than 110 pounds. A photo ID is required to donate. Donors who last gave blood on or before June 15th are eligible to give for this drive. For other questions, call Impact Life at 800-747-5401. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, August 20th, 2026. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today. Hopefully no more rain. I don't know about you, but I've had enough. So anyway, I hope you all have a good week, and I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.